Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to the attention of humanity that is suited to its needs at that particular time. Usually, this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces is in decline, and as our solar system moves more into alignment with the constellation of Aquarius, new energies begin to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly, and chaos ensues as the old order begins to crumble to make way for the impulse of sharing, justice, and peace for all.
Good morning, everyone. This morning we have an article from Benjamin Krem's master called Waiting for the New, about the changes taking place in society. Then an article about a new film which covers the refugee crisis, and a compilation of information on the new politics. And also a short message reminding us to practice compassion. So we start with the article from the master.
Waiting for the New. The world is waiting, not with bated breath, but with a growing sense that events are moving towards a crisis, the outcome of which is unclear. No one knows how things will turn. The professionals, politicians, and economists alike flounder helplessly in the cross currents, unable to plan in the conflicting directions they are forced to take. Daily new problems arise to test the goodwill of the most enlightened, while behind the scenes, the ruthless greed of speculation brings nations to their knees. Whenever such a situation arises, men grow fearful, and when in fear, they strike out in anger. Thus it is today in many parts of the world. A growing intolerance of refugees, of foreigners, discolours the democratic process, as living standards fall and security is threatened. Political extremists waiting in the wings seize their opportunity and emerge to lead unthinking youth in imitation of the past. Nothing can halt the slide towards chaos as market forces crush the life of men in their unholy grip. Nothing can save this civilization, based as it is on competition and greed. The old order is dying, nay, it is already dead. Commercialization, another name for mammon, has usurped the law and become the state religion around the world. Were men alone in this maelstrom, pitiful would be their plight. Sad indeed would be their fate. Nowhere could they turn for succour. No one could they ask for aid. Forces quite beyond their control would drive them remorselessly to war, and finis would be written large over man's life on earth.
However, man is not alone, nor ever has been, but buttressed by his elder brothers, he makes his journey under supervision and guidance, not alone, but in the safe company of those who have gone before and know well the way. Into the centre of the storm, this group of elder brothers is returning. One by one, they take their places in your midst, ready when called upon to offer their advice and help. For centuries had they awaited this opportunity to work directly in the world of men. Now they come, bearing gifts of wisdom and love. Under their leader, the Lord Maitreya, they will turn men away from the brink of self-destruction and open a new chapter in the history of the race. From the ruins of the old, a new civilization will be built by human hands under the inspiration of Maitreya and his group. Fear not, for the end is already known. Humanity will overcome this time of crisis and enter into a new and better relationship with itself, its planet, and its source. Maitreya has come to make all things new. Knowingly or not, the world is waiting for the new.
And now we continue with an article entitled, and it's from the Voice of the People, and it's entitled, Thousands in San Francisco Gather to Spread Joy, Love, and Celebrate Living in Diversity. Thousands of people took to the streets in San Francisco on 26 August 2017 to celebrate after several planned counter-protests and condemnation from local politicians convinced an extreme right-wing group to cancel a scheduled rally in the city. The rally cancellation did not deter those who had planned citywide counter-protests from hosting their events, which included a gathering in support of Equal Rights for All, a march against hate and bigotry, and a rally to attract proponents of art, activism, and love that featured a group dressed as clowns in an effort to spread joy, love, and celebrate living in diversity. One of the marchers, Joe Weidman, said, "We can have unity through love instead of division through hate. You have to leave your house. You have to show up. You have to say no to hate." And the source for that comes from commondreams.org or sfgate.com.
And now for an article titled Ai Weiwei's new film called Human Flow aims to show us we're all one. And this is by Eliza Graff. Humanity is witnessing today the highest levels of human displacement ever recorded. According to the United Nations Refugee Agency, short form UNHCR, an unprecedented 65.6 million people around the world have been forced from their homes. Nearly 22.5 million of them are refugees, and over half are children under the age of 18. Since 2010, the conflict in Syria alone has produced over 5.5 million refugees. Noting that the scope and scale of the staggering human tragedy proves too overwhelming for most people to comprehend, Ai Weiwei, the most well-known Chinese artist today, has turned to the language of imagery to articulate the crisis. His new film, Human Flow, opens in theatres on 13th October 2017. People feel detached and powerless when faced with images of migrants making perilous journeys by land and sea, I told the Associated Press in Venice. Because you feel this is senseless, then you shut off because the crisis is getting too big. You cannot do anything about it. That is the most dangerous moment.
Born in China, at the time when his father was a refugee, Ai says, "I understood how low humanity can go from when I was very, very young and how wrong things can go. I feel I am part of it," he said of the migrant crisis. "I know them so well, they are part of me." To combat indifference, the artist has frequently used his work to draw attention to the refugee crisis. In 2016, he wrapped the columns of Berlin's Konzerthaus in 14,000 bright orange life jackets left behind by migrants arriving on the Greek island of Lesbos after their perilous journey across the Mediterranean. With a crew of over 2,000 members, Human Flow travels to 23 different countries to showcase the breadth of the refugee crisis and its dehumanizing potency to create what IndieWire reviewer David Ehrlich calls an epic portrait of mass migration that understands how a lack of empathy often stems from a failure of imagination. "The longer Human Flow goes on, the less political it becomes," says Ehrlich. Ai doesn't devote much time to interviews, but a quote from one of his subjects hangs in the air above every scene. "Being a refugee is much more than a political status. It's the most pervasive kind of cruelty that can be exercised against a human being. You are forcibly robbing this human being of all aspects that would make this human life not just tolerable, but meaningful in many ways," Ehrlich writes. "The longer we stare at people shivering in a camp on the outskirts of France or trudging through the marshes along the Hungarian border or waiting in a tent city as food runs low and the trains rumble by, the more we come to appreciate I's scattershot structure, which hops between countries as if at random rather than following the frozen stream of refugees from one country to another. These people are living without context, which means they aren't really living at all.
The film, incidentally, showcases the irony of building walls against migration in the time of the information age. Not only are walls inhumane, they are embarrassingly obsolete, Ehrlich says. He finds that some of the most interesting moments in the film involve refugees sharing YouTube videos and finding their own ways to circumvent the barriers placed before them. While it is easy to think of civilization as static, Ehrlich notes that even as the various refugee camps blend together throughout the 140-minute film, it feels like I's film has become paralyzed by the banality of its central crisis. We are struck by the raw evidence of the fact that the world is shrinking, populations are being displaced, and people from different backgrounds are going to have to learn to live with each other. The inevitable conclusion, suggests Ehrlich, is that there is no other option. Prepare accordingly. Figure out a sustainable immigration policy, because not having one isn't going to work. I said he hoped politicians would see the film and resolve not to just avoid the situation, not just to build borders, not just to say them and us, but rather to see we are all as one. History tells us we have to sit down and come up with the best solution, I said. And I believe this is a possibility, because all policies are designed by human beings, and deep in our hearts we have this compassion and we have the ability to make something nicer for each other. And that article was sourced from WashingtonPost.com as well as IndieWire.com.
And now we have a compilation of various quotations from messages from Maitreya the Christ and Maitreya's teachings, The Laws of Life, also A Master Speaks Volumes 1 and 2. My major need today is for those who share my vision to accept the responsibility of action. Many millions there are in the world who know the need of man, who see that vision but know not the urgency of the time. I rely on all those with a knowledge of your brother's needs, a sympathy for the sufferings of so many, and a will to change all that. May you be among those upon whom I may call, that together we can usher in a new and better world. And that was message number 46 from Maitreya. And now I'm continuing with a quote from The Dream of Brotherhood. Under the inspiration and guidance of Maitreya and his group of masters, men will find an increasing ability to make the right decisions, to act correctly in relation to the plan. This will lead inevitably to a growing sense of brotherhood, to an understanding that only as men move together can they forward move at all. Naught hinders but the political will. The peoples everywhere are ready for the adjustments in their ways of living, which will herald the age of brotherhood and await only the leadership and counsel of Maitreya. Then will the people establish for themselves right relationship, accepting the role of participators in the management of the world. And now I have one from, is called The Guidance of Maitreya. We are now facing a crisis which is essentially spiritual, but which is working out in the political and economic fields. Hence the Christ's decision to work within the sphere of politics and economics, and hence his emphasis on the principle of sharing, which he has said is the key to all future progress for man. When you share, you recognize God in your brother. Man must share or die. Sharing is a divine principle, and until we recognize that all structures must reflect that inner divinity, we shall not make one further step in our evolutionary journey. As soon as we do realize it, we shall open the door into an entirely new situation. And the last quote that I'm giving at this moment is from message number 19. Teach men that to share is divine, to love is God's nature, to work together is man's destiny. Take your stand on the only platform from which the light of the future may be seen. Take your stand, my friends, together, and show the way.
And this next quote is from Benjamin Kerm's master from the article The Guidance of Maitreya. The peoples of the world have caught the vision of freedom, of justice and peace, and will not let it go. They, rather than their leaders, will outline the future and shape it to their needs. Thus will it be. This new force in the world, the voice of the people, is rapidly gaining strength and cohesion and will play a major role in world affairs from now. And this next one is from the book Maitreya's Mission, Volume 3. The United Nations is slowly coming into its own as the maintainer of peace in the world. At present, it is reluctant to accept the role of world policeman, and governments everywhere balk at the cost involved. But until world peace is assured through sharing and the implementation of justice, such a responsibility must be accepted. Its future role is to become not a world government, but the world parliament, where problems can be discussed and resolved peacefully. And the last quote from this compilation is from Maitreya's Mission, Volume 3 again. The world is going to be changed, above all, by the countless millions of people, men and women everywhere, of goodwill. It is precisely the people of goodwill who, in the first place, will respond to Maitreya. He will potentize that goodwill. He will confirm in them their attitude to life and will so potentize it that he will build a world public opinion against which no government on earth can stand.
And now I quote from Benjamin Krem's The Gathering of the Forces of Light. In educational establishments, in business, in every aspect of life, you will find groups forming. People who want to make their voices heard in the political field, for instance, form or join parties. A party is simply a big group. That group can make known its general ideology, beliefs, intentions, hopes and aspirations in a more powerful way than can the individual. In this way, the world gradually becomes more unified because we find that although people are individual, they all need the same things. Everybody needs enough food, shelter, housing, clothes, healthcare, and education. These requirements, which are common to every man, woman, and child on the planet, will more and more become the accepted norm. When they are seen to be the basic requirements for all, we will see global consciousness become a fact.
Thank you for listening in today. That's all from us. If you'd like further information, you're welcome to write to us at PO Box 34491 Birkenhead or check out the website share-international.org. Love and blessings to you all. We'll be right back.